Hello, podcaster. Thank you so much for listening. Today is a really important podcast that we would like you to rate, review, and share with as many people as you can. Today's podcast is a boiled down version of what we did on radio today, which was lay out the entire minute by minute what happened with the Covington High School students at the mall, starting before they even arrived at the mall. And it is fascinating. And I will tell you, it doesn't just prove them to be right. It proves them to be righteous. And it also proves the Native American is, you will wait until you hear.
Blatantly lying is what it proves.
It's beyond, it's so infuriating.
And this kind of comes from a whole day, basically, where we took our whole research staff and had them really work on this in detail to find. You don't have to believe anything. You're going to hear all of the audio clips. You'll hear exactly what happened, when it happened in this timeline. And it proves, without a shadow of a doubt, that the Native American guy that the media loves so much was blatantly lying about this. And this is all, by the way, possible because, you know, you guys have helped us out so much by subscribing to BlazeTV.com. It's something I hope you're getting real value for, but it's the reason why these things can be done, why we can put 5, 6, 7 people on doing a project like this in one day.
Yeah, I just had a conversation last night with the president of the company, and I said, there's two researchers I want to bring on, and he's like, Glenn, so much money. And I'm like, I know, but it'll all work out. We provide the right information, and nobody else did this research, and we urge you to not only listen to it, but to understand it, and then make sure you pass it on to other people, because nobody else, certainly mainstream media, has done this. This is the truth on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
First, our sponsor for behind the scenes is Home Title Lock. Home Title Lock is a great system. They're the only ones that are standing really at the gateway of the vault where all titles are kept digitally. They are the sentinels. They can see everything coming into that vault and going out of that vault when it's being changed. There's nobody else that is at that choke point that can see everything, which puts them into a great place to make sure that your title remains your title.
Don't be a victim of home title fraud. It's not a world you want to live in. For pennies a day, I signed up for Home Title Lock. Glenn has signed up, Pat as well.
Yeah.
Go to HomeTitleLock.com. Register now for a free title scan and report to see if your home is already compromised. It's $100 value. They'll give it to you free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com.
Thomas Massey, one of the great congressmen from the great state of Kentucky. Welcome to the program, sir.
Thanks for fitting me in this morning, Glenn.
You bet. I appreciate it. You and I spoke after I was off air yesterday, and we spoke for a few minutes about what I think is an embarrassment and a possible tragedy on the way to Covington, Kentucky. They're preparing for, crazy people doing crazy things. And I think these kids are heroes. I really think that they demonstrated a Christ-like attitude and the attitude of Martin Luther King. And everyone is afraid to come out and say anything.
Oh, I agree with you. And when everybody was still condemning them, I came out to commend them. Because they've been coming to Washington, D.C. on their own dime for 30 years. And for the 6 years that I've been in Congress, they've always been welcome at my office. I've done their school cheers with them on the steps of the Capitol. These are the most fine, upstanding students you'll ever meet. And so when I saw that first snippet of video that came out and went viral, I said, something doesn't add up here. This can't be the whole story because I know these kids. I know their parents. I know the alumni from this school. These are the kind of kids that do the right thing, not because they're afraid of getting punished, but because they're afraid they'll let down their families or they'll let down their mentors. And so that's why.
And by the way, hang on just a second. I want you to know that's a quote. That's not something he's just saying. That's a quote from one of the former students. We don't want to let down our mentors. That is exactly what you want with kids.
That's right. That's what they told me. One of the kids that went there.
Oh.
So I am, you know, this is almost like a psychology experiment. Mm. I think everybody needs to step back, because a lot of conservatives fell for this first video because we were told, here's what you're going to see. And then when you watch it, you say, yeah, I guess that's what I am seeing. But without the context of everything else, you're getting duped. And that's what happened to a lot of people.
So,
and here's the
go ahead.
Go ahead, Glenn.
No, go ahead.
Well, the tragedy of this is the people who jumped to conclusion in the first 12 hours or the first 8 hours who said something to save their own skin. Now, instead of walking it back, they're saying, well, now I need a third party investigation to sort all this out, and we'll get a report on this. They're not exonerating or walking back what they did at this point.
So can you help me out? Have you talked to anybody at the school? I know I talked to Robbie George yesterday, who was a guy who jumped on the bandwagon on Friday. He's very big in the Catholic Church. He's the chair of ethics. Can you help me out on that? At Princeton University. And I called him and he said, Glenn, how can I help? He said, I feel so horrible. On Friday, I tweeted something that this has to stop. And he said, and then it wasn't until Sunday that I actually saw that there was extra video and I did my homework. And he said, I feel horrible. I tweeted immediately a retraction. He said, but nobody's willing to step up and protect these kids. And I said, it's worse than that. The parents haven't heard word one from the school in a, hey, we've got your back. The archdiocese is completely silent on this, and they're afraid of funding. They're afraid if they support the kids, the liberals will go away and stop the funding. If they don't support the kids, the conservatives will go away and they'll lose their funding. I mean, this
That's
is
right.
horrible.
I've talked to the alumni and parents who have reached out to me, and they wanted somebody to speak up for their kids. That's why I came out Sunday supporting these kids with the strongest statement as I could make. And I think, you know, hopefully that will give other people cover. If there's a congressman out there saying these are good kids, you got to support them. And by the way, Nick Sandman, that kid deserves a medal.
That kid, you and I talked about him for 5 minutes on the phone yesterday. I would be proud if that kid was my son. There's a lot of times, you know, kids stand up and they do things and you're like, you put your hand up to your face and you kind of look through your fingers and you're like, oh God, what is my son or daughter going to do or say? And this kid was amazing, especially if you watch all of the video. He stopped others from getting out of hand. It was amazing what he did.
That's right. The media tried to say he was smirking, but if you read his statement, and I completely believe him, he was trying to smile so that the other students wouldn't think that he was being intimidated or felt threatened. He was trying to de-escalate it with a smile. And like you said, what's off camera in the video that went viral, but from another angle with another microphone, you can hear another Native American protester who is telling one of Nick's classmates to go back to Europe. You stole this land. And Nick turns and with sign language, by motioning, without even saying anything, convinces his friend not to reciprocate, not to escalate. And while he's still got the drum in his face, that is just amazing when you see that.
So we have, so you know, and please, if you're listening, Facebook your friends, call your friends, tell everybody you know. We have a detailed, my staff went through all of the video yesterday, and we put together what's in the business called a TikTok, which means what happened minute by minute. We have the video prior to the kids even arriving, and we have watched it now from several different points of view. There was somebody chanting, build the wall, build the wall. We have the video. But you will not believe who it was. And we're going to do that next hour. We're with Thomas Massey, congressman from Kentucky. This is his area. He knows these people in Covington. Thomas, what can the average person do to support these kids?
Well, I think what needs to happen right now is the principal of the school, the diocese, they need to turn this around. They need to act quickly because, you know, you need to give people the benefit of the doubt. But when they're children, you definitely need to give them the benefit of the doubt. Support them, support them on social media. I think we're turning this thing around. I really do. The irony is that this was a social media mob that came after Nick and his classmates. But the irony here is that social media can turn this thing back around, because the left-leaning media has really jumped the shark on this one. I've got to give credit to some of the folks at CNN. Uncharacteristically, they've walked it back a little bit. And I think that's because of the pressure. Even Democrats look at this and say, that could be my kid who's getting doxxed. That could be my house where they're coming to protest. It's one thing. Everybody knows Twitter is a dumpster fire. But people are taking that fire and that dumpster and bringing it into Covington. I mean, they've threatened the school so much that the prosecutor in Northern Kentucky had to come out and say, look, we're going to prosecute these crimes. This is a crime to threaten a school, and you will be prosecuted. So I think just keep the pressure up, keep supporting these kids on social media. And for your friends who haven't seen the full length video, your TikTok, that is going to be so important. That's what they need to see, because not everybody's going to be able to sit through five different videos and watch 4 hours of video. So if you put that together, that is perfect. I will share that on my Facebook so everybody can know what really happened.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
I want to spend some time here on Nathan Phillips and who he is. Now, he is the elderly Native American, but I want you to know this whole story, this media version of this story, was a microwave meal. I mean, it came prepackaged and ready-made. The press could have written this with their eyes closed, and it appears many of them did. But if you care about something kind of old-timey called facts, here they are. Phillips is a member of the Omaha tribe. He was born and raised in Lincoln, Nebraska. He says he was 5 years old when he was taken away from his family and put in foster care. He bounced around several homes and was finally raised by a white family who he says was abusive until he was 17. He then left home, started working some construction jobs, then he joined the Marines. Now, almost every media outlet is describing him as a Vietnam veteran, but Indian Country Today, which is a Native American magazine, describes him as a Vietnam-era veteran, which implies that he did not actually serve in Vietnam, just in the era. It's an important distinction because Phillips says it was so hard when he came back from Vietnam. He said, people called me a baby killer and a hippie girl spat on me. Indian Country Today noted that this incident happened when Phillips was in uniform, not when he was returning home from Vietnam. We have reached out to the journalist at Indian Country Today, but we are still waiting for a response. For several years, Phillips led an annual ceremony honoring Native American war veterans at Arlington National Cemetery. And after he left the Marines, he struggled with alcoholism. He was in and out of jail. And in 1990, he met a former middle school teacher who became his companion, and they traveled around the country protesting. In 1994, they settled in Washington, D.C. after the truck they were driving broke down and caught fire during a demonstration in front of the White House. While in Washington, he co-founded the Native Youth Alliance. It's a nonprofit group. Now, this is really important. Nonprofit group works to ensure that traditional culture and spiritual ways continue for the coming generations. He had no financial support for this organization at the time. He was working odd jobs in construction when he could. By 2000, he was living in a teepee by the Washington Monument. And he lived in that teepee by the Washington Monument for an entire month of November with his companion and their toddler son and baby daughter. And he did it to tell America that American Indians don't have too much to be thankful for. His words, not mine. In a profile written about him in 2000, the Omaha World Herald said, quote, Privately, other tribal leaders say Philip is regarded back in Nebraska as well-intentioned brother, but struggling to cope with a troubled childhood. The leader of the Omaha tribe generally avoids the type of activism that Phillips prefers. The type of activism that Phillips prefers. Now, while living in Michigan in 2015, I think in 2012, he made a documentary film. He also made an anti-capitalist and anti-cop music video where the cop dies in the end. but then he moved to Michigan in 2015. He decided to go for an afternoon stroll, according to him, on one Saturday, and he came across a group of, according to him, 30 to 40 students at Eastern Michigan University having a Native American-themed party in their backyard. He said they were all wearing body paint and feathers and summoned him over to the fence. He said when he questioned their choice of activity, he said that they said they were honoring him. He replied, "You're not honoring me. That wasn't honoring. This is racist." He said, then the student said, "Go back to the reservation, you blank Indian." He said that a student threw a full beer can at him and had hit him in the head, and he backed up in time to get hit instead in the chest, and he immediately called police. But by the time the police got there, there was no one there, and there was no sign of the party. At the time, Eastern Michigan University said it conducted an investigation, but no media outlets seemed to report on the conclusion. We reached out to EMU to find out their investigation, if it corroborated Phillips' accusations of the verbal and physical assault. We are waiting to hear back from them. Today, Phillips is an Omaha tribe elder and the keeper of the sacred pipe. In 2016 and 2017, he was again on the front line with his 17-year-old daughter. He was part of the big protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline across Sioux Land in South Dakota. This guy is about as left as you can get. Last Friday, Phillips was in Washington to participate in the inaugural Indigenous Peoples March. The march was organized as a continuation of the 2016-2017 Dakota Pipeline demonstrations. It was organized by the Indigenous Peoples Movement, an international grassroots initiative aimed at increasing awareness of voter suppression. Now listen to this. Divided families by walls and borders, an environmental holocaust, sex and human trafficking, and police and military brutality. So he was marching in protest of the wall. After telling the Washington Post that he was mobbed by the Covington students, he changed his tune and said he had approached the crowd to intervene because of racial tensions between the white students and the Black Hebrew Israelites group. Wait until you hear the TikTok in about 15 minutes. All of this comes undone. Now, this is his new statement. He said, quote, "The Covington boys witnessed these individuals, the Black Hebrew Israelites group, on their soapbox, saying what they had to say. They didn't agree with it, and they got offended. They were in the process of attacking these four Black individuals. I was there, and I was witnessing all of this. And it kept going on and escalating, and it got to a point where you got to do something or walk away, you know? You see something that is wrong and you're faced with that choice. What do I do, right or wrong? There was this moment when I realized I had put myself between beast and prey. These young men were beastly, and these old Black individuals, they were their prey. I stood in between them, and so they needed their pounds of flesh, and they took it from me."
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. It was Friday afternoon on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial. Three separate groups would clash, but only one would take the blame, and only one people would do homework on. It was a group of predominantly white kids, some of them wearing MAGA hats, Make America Great Again hat. A group of Native Americans, and also some black street preachers who are known for their volatile attitude. Now, in today's media and social climate, just based on that description, who do you think the media would assign the blame on any kind of problem? Right? The reasonable answer should be, after watching 60 seconds of video of a kid smiling at a Native American banging a drum in his face, the reasonable answer should be, I don't know, I only saw 60 seconds of video. But that's not the way America answered, and it's certainly not the way the press answered. Because we don't live in that world anymore. We live in a world where appearances, gender, skin color, even now the choice of head fashion, instantly proclaim your guilt or innocence. And the child smiling in that 60-second video had every strike against him. White, check. Gender, male, check. MAGA hat, check. Oh, and did you say he attends a Christian school? Double check. A short viral video on social media and the mainstream media instantly declare this kid guilty and all of the kids with him, all due to the fact that he checked every single one of their appearance boxes. America, is this who we are? We are persecuting a bunch of high school kids who acted admirably, who acted the way we would want our children to react. By now, you've heard the story, but not the way I'm about to tell it, because I'm about to use the facts. The question that you should have at the end of this hour is, how the hell did anyone tell this story any other way? Well, because nobody is interested in doing the work, and no one is interested in the facts. My team yesterday morning got a charge from me early, early in the morning. Track down every single person in every video and watch it and give me a timeline. So that's what I'm giving you today. Here's the story. Group of boys from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky, finishing up after a long day. They attended the March for Life, and they were given permission to do a little sightseeing before meeting up at the Lincoln Memorial to depart. They arrived, and they saw a pair of dueling demonstrations. There were two demonstrations when they arrived. A group of Native Americans had gathered as part of the Indigenous People's March, which the Indigenous People's March was about Indigenous people, stolen land, and borders without any walls. Then there was another group, the African American street preachers. These guys, and I say this because I saw them daily for a long time in New York, they are truly violent, vile people. Very small group called the Black Hebrew Israelites. So the boys stood there for a second and watched this show. Really, they watched and they listened. And the Black Hebrew Israelites screamed, not at the boys, but at the Native Americans, telling the Native Americans that they were evil for practicing their cultural beliefs. It got so bad that some of the Native Americans walked up and pleaded with them to stop interrupting their gathering. Here's the videotape. Listen.
It means savage. You are not savages. You are the children of God according to the Bible. You are the children of Israel. Before you started worshiping totem poles, you was worshiping the true living God.
That's right.
Before you became an idol worshiper, you was worshiping the true and living God. And this is the reason why this land was taken away from you. Because you worship everything except the Most High. You worship every creation except the Creator.
That's right.
And that's what we are here to tell you to do. We are here to tell you to wake up to the four corners of the earth. This is the truth of the Holy Bible. We don't have a microphone, brother. Okay, and this is the part of freedom of the speech and freedom of religion.
Now,
and that's
are,
what we out here for.
Listen,
okay, and I hear you. I honor my God. We honor
two
our
Native
God,
Americans
brother,
walk up peacefully.
What you have
please
to,
stop.
You have to come away from the Lord.
They turn around and walk
away from your religions, philosophies, and doctrines, and start worshiping the true and living power, which his name is Yahweh. That's who's the Most High God.
That's right.
The Most High God, his name is Yahweh. You're not supposed to worship eagles, buffaloes,
that's
rams,
right. Right.
All types of animals.
That's right.
This is the reason why the Lord took away your land.
Okay. Now, I want to make sure that you have that. There's, if you don't, if you're not watching us on Blaze TV, let me describe the scene. It's very different than the scene that you will see in just a few minutes later, because the Covington boys are not around. It's very sparsely populated, and you're seeing a lot of Native Americans there. And they are trying to be kind, but it doesn't get any more insulting than this. He calls them idol worshippers, totem pole, eagle and buffalo worshippers. Until a Native American man was forced to come over and kindly plead with them to stop, which they didn't. The black Hebrew Israelites then go on with their insults, directed directly at the Native Americans. Now, it's right about this time that the Israelites decided that they would then direct hostility over to another growing group, a group of boys who were from Covington, that were standing close by, just watching and listening to these two groups. Here it is.
That's right.
Pompous bastards over there wearing Make America Great.
That's right.
Again.
Little Billy. Little corny-ass Billy in there.
Why are you not angry at them?
Little corny-ass Billy Bob.
Why are you not angry at them?
Okay. Yeah, go talk to them with them Make America Great hats on.
Unbelievable, man.
Tell them come over here in the lion's den. Instead of mocking over there. You little dirty ass crackers, your day coming. Your day coming. Your day coming. Because you little dusty asses wouldn't walk down the street in a black neighborhood and go walk up on nobody playing no games like that. Yeah, I will stick my foot in your little ass.
Okay. If you saw the video, which will all be available on Blaze TV and Blaze.com, you see the video. There's only about, maybe it looks like 10, but in the first part of the video, you only see about four of them. Only one is wearing a Make America Great Again hat. Only one of them seems to be wearing it in the video that we are showing you. And they're still gathering, so there's very few people, there are very few of them. But you'll notice that what the black Israelites did, they were arguing with the Native Americans and then said, why are you arguing with us? You should be going after those little bastards over there wearing the Make America Great Again hats. Little corny ass Billy Bob, go talk to them, dirty ass crackers. When the black Israelites start to address them, you also see on the video, the boys do nothing. They have their hands in their pockets. They're just watching from a distance. They all turn around and start to walk away. Now, this is a fight between the attendees of an Indigenous People's March and their hecklers, the black Hebrew Israelites. Now, it begins to get out of hand here. Because the Native Americans have been kind. That's when things really go awry. We're not including this on air because it's absolutely uneditable and unairable. It is full of profanity, so it'd be just one giant bleep. But we will tweet this scene out to you. This is when, finally, some of the Native Americans had had enough. And they get into what looks like is going to become a street brawl between the two. And as it begins to get completely out of hand, several Native Americans returning shouts and profanity of their own, the street preachers again result to saying, why are you attacking us? They redirect to their racial insults, and they point again to the Covington High School students to get them out of this jam with the Native Americans. Here it is.
Always talking out their ass. Always talking out their ass. But you won't say that to this peck of wood wearing a Make America Great Hat again.
That's right.
You damn Uncle Tomahawk.
That's right. That's right.
You bunch of Uncle Tomahawks. Why you don't crack that peck of wood with the hat on?
That's right.
Why you don't crack his head?
That's right.
Why you don't speak to him like that?
That's right.
Because you're Uncle Tomahawk.
That's right.
Just want to make sure you understand what he was saying to the Native American. Why aren't you talking to the peckerwood wearing the Make America Great Again hat? You're an Uncle Tomahawk. You're all a bunch of Uncle Tomahawks. Why don't you crack the head of that peckerwood with the Make America Great Again hat? The media has completely dismissed this. Why, I wonder. This goes back and forth for over an hour with the Black Hebrew Israelites, even resorting to calling other African Americans in the vicinity the N-word because they don't agree with them. Now, it's about this time that the boys from Covington High School all begin gathering in large numbers, waiting for their ride home. We're going to play a small portion of what ensued next because it leads directly to the incident that would immediately go viral. I'll do that in 1 minute. Okay. I'm going to play a small portion of what happened next because it leads to the incident that would immediately go viral. But keep it in mind for later because I'm going to come back to this clip, this specific line of insults toward the Covington boys. Again, directly followed another instance where the Black Israelites were being confronted for their racism and bigotry. Listen.
Look at all these dusty ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty ass crackers. Can't stand in the damn sun for 5 minutes.
Why you don't build the damn wall?
Can't stand in the damn sun.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all want to build a wall for Mexico's?
Now, remember this clip because I have to come back to it. By now, not only the boys from Covington were getting annoyed, but the entire area in a 300-meter radius was trying to get the Black Israelites to shut up. It was disunion and disharmony with everyone they touched. The high school kids, in order to drown out the racism and bigotry, decided that a pep rally would be louder than the hate coming from the street preachers. Now, this is also something they do every year. They have done this for 10 years. Every year, they meet at the steps of the Lincoln Memorial, and they shout their prep rally shouts. This time, it worked also to help drown out the hate directed mainly towards Native Americans. Here's what happened. This is their prep. It had nothing to do with anything. They've done it for 10 years, and it did drown out the hatred. Now, it's a kid thing to do, but it's honestly, if I were there, I would have said, thank God, look at these kids. It's much better listening to the bigotry coming from the mouths of the Black Israelites, and now some, and I want to just emphasize this, some Native Americans who just lost their temper, okay? But right as this is going on, one of the Native American attendees of the Indigenous People's March approaches the Covington group. He walks away from the area that the Native American demonstration had gathered and walks right past the black Israelites directly into the middle of high schoolers. Now he stops right in front of a 17-year-old, banging a drum a couple of inches from his face. This is the moment where it began. Watch and listen.
Here come Gad! Here come Gad! Here come Gad!
Here comes Gad.
Look, look at our Make America Great Again hats. Look at the hats. Look at the hats. We ain't taking. Look, we not taking. Look at Gad. That's right, Gad. Look at Gad.
Now, notice the drum beat with the chants. The kids are doing their chants. They don't know who this Native American is. They know that that Native Americans have been hassled by the black Israelites. That they have watched and seen. So when the Native American comes over, they think that he's on their side trying to drown out the black Israelites. But did you notice what the black Israelites were calling the Native American with the drum? They called him Gad. Here comes Gad. Here comes Gad. Gad? Who the hell is Gad? You have to go to Isaiah chapter 65. The black Israelites still are continuing to insult the Native Americans. This is a false god. So when he says, oh, here comes Gad, he is mocking the Native Americans. Again, the totem pole worshiper. Oh, now here comes their false god with the drum. Nobody in the media said anything about this. Nobody in the media had a problem with any of this. The black Israelites continue to insult the Native Americans, but not a mention of any of it. Now, the Native American, his name is Nathan Phillips. I just did 20 minutes on who Nathan Phillips is. You can find that at the Blaze TV, hour number one of this show. We will also tweet it out and make it available for everyone. But in a nutshell, he is a known activist. He is a guy who has protested the Dakota Access Pipeline in North Dakota. He has protested Thanksgiving by building a teepee next to the Washington Memorial, where they let him stay for 30 days because Native Americans have nothing to be thankful for. He has made an anti-cop and anti-capitalist music video. He's well known. More from him next.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
This is the Glenn Beck program. A TikTok is what it is called in the business. A rundown of what happened, minute by minute, what happened next. This is a look at what happened on the Mall in Washington on Friday. Quite frankly, I think this is one of the best things that we do on this program, is we take events and we look at them and say, here's what really happened. There are hours of tape that exist on this. Hours and hours of public video. My team yesterday spent the day doing nothing else but watching those videos and taking them and saying, okay, wait a minute, this one goes here, this one goes here, here's what happened next. And you have seen, if you've been listening to this program, you have seen in the last 20 minutes that the black Israelites were attacking the Native Americans, and they were attacking the Native Americans in vicious, vile ways. You also have seen that the Native Americans at first responded peacefully. Then, when that didn't work, some other Native Americans, a vast minority, came over and were were getting violent. They were throwing the same kind of racial slurs back at the Native Americans. It got so tense that the video shows it looked like there could have been a race war between the Native Americans and the Black Israelites. The white boys from Covington had nothing to do with it. All they're going to do is start the cheer that they have done before they get on the buses for the last 10 years. They do their school prep cheers. Then they get on the buses. It is my understanding that they also were trying to relieve the tension. And if you see the video that we provide, you will see that no one was laughing, no one was smiling, nothing good was going to happen. Until they started doing their cheers, that broke the mood and broke the back of this argument between the Native Americans and the Black Israelites. But that's when Nathan Phillips sees an opportunity to get press. He is a 30-year left-wing activist. And he marches right up to one of the students and gets right directly in his face. Now, the media left all of the pre-stuff out. So you have no idea that these kids are actually helping the Native American. How betrayed they must have felt. So as Nathan Phillips, the Native American, walks over with the drum, the Black Israelites are still calling them names, the Native Americans, calling Nathan Phillips Gad, the name of a false god, and they continue to insult them, but not a peep in the media. Now, Phillips initially told the Washington Post the boys surrounded him as he was just preparing to leave. There is zero evidence of this. In fact, our video shows the exact opposite. He later contradicted this in an interview with the Detroit Free Press, admitting that it was he, not they, that initiated the contact. He also stated that he did this because the Covington kids were attacking the Black Israelites. This is clearly not what happened. Clearly, if you've watched the video, it is painfully obvious. This is not what happened. The white boys stayed way away from the confrontation. It was a confrontation between the Black Israelites and the Native Americans. And it was the Black Israelites, who are known by reporters in New York to be vile, despicable street thugs. Now, Phillips' actions seem completely at odds with every other Native American present at the rally that day. There was only a handful that were nasty. The vast majority were either debating or getting confrontational with the Black Israelites. None of them were at odds with the high school kids. Not a single Native American. Not one. One of the catalysts for why some have say Phillips decided to do what he did was due to the claim that the boys were saying build that wall, and they felt insulted by that. Now, remember, Nathan Phillips is part of a group that is against the border wall. No borders, no walls. Okay? That's why he was protesting. He was protesting the border wall. So, of course, someone wearing a MAGA hat has to be for the border wall. That's why he targeted that boy. Now, in interview after interview, he said they were chanting, build that wall. In zero instances that we have found on videotape, and we've watched it all, zero times have the boys said, build that wall. But we did find it, and I played it for you earlier. The organizer of the Indigenous Peoples March claim, I heard that. The New York Times quick to point out, that was build that wall. It's a quote, a rallying cry of supporters of Mr. Trump. Which brings me back to the video I told you to remember. listen to it. But this time, listen to the black Israelite leader and what he's saying in the background to the Native Americans.
Look at all these dusty-ass crackers with that racist garbage on. Look at these dirty-ass crackers. Can't stand in the damn sun for 5 minutes.
Build that wall.
Can't stand in the damn sun.
Let me ask y'all something. Y'all want to build a wall for Mexico?
He's saying to the indigenous people, build that wall, build that wall. Why don't you build that wall? They're so worried about the people from Mexico. So it was said, but it was said by the black Israelites. Not one of the Covington kids. Out of all of the video evidence from the entire event, the only time build that wall was ever heard was when it was said by the leader of the black Israelites. The media never did any of this work. They never looked at the entire body of evidence to find out what really happened. They saw young white boys from a Christian school wearing a MAGA hat, and they instantly handed out a verdict of guilty. Did Nathan Phillips do this as an activist looking for exposure? Well, I will tell you this about that old man who cried on TV. Here's what he said in an interview. Now that you have the video and you've seen it with your own eyes, exactly what happened, now let me repeat what Nathan Phillips said happened. He told the Washington Post and then the Detroit Free Press, they, the Covington boys, witnessed these individuals, the Black Hebrew Israelites group, on their soapbox about what they had to say. Well, they didn't agree with it, and they got offended. They were in the process of attacking these four black individuals. I was there. I witnessed all of this, and it kept going on and escalating. It just got to a point where you have to do something or you'll walk away, you know? You see something that's wrong, and you're faced with that choice of right or wrong. And that is the moment when I knew I had to put myself between beast and prey. These young men were beastly to these old black individuals, and that was their prey. And I stood between them, and so they needed their pound of flesh, and they were looking at me for my pound of flesh. It was ugly what these kids were involved in. It was racism. It was hatred. It was scary. I mean, if you go back and look at the lynchings that were done in America, you'd see the faces on those people, the glee and the hatred on their faces. That's what these faces looked like. The black Israelites were saying some harsh things, but some of it was true. These young white American kids who were being taught in their Catholic school their doctrine, their truth. And when they found out that there was more truth out there than what they were being taught, they were offended, they were insulted, and they were scared. And that's how they responded. The one thing I was taught in my Marine Corps training is that a scared man will kill you. And that's what these boys were. They were scared. I'm still scared. I'm still feeling vulnerable, but I will not back down. This man is despicable. Despicable. I just put him in a category yesterday of either a guy who didn't know what was going on, or most likely just an activist. But this man is a despicable liar. And the media held him up, and they are still holding him up just by saying, well, I mean, I guess there's some other information out and now video, and I guess things are changing. No, that's not enough, CNN. That's not enough, Brian Stelter. That's not enough, Washington Post. That's not enough, New York Times. And it's not enough for you or for me. You must stand up for these boys in Covington. They have been hassled. They have death threats. Their school is shut down today. The school principal should know you are on notice. You and the archdiocese need to stand up and correct what you said about these boys. These boys are heroes who tried to do the right thing and were betrayed. Betrayed by the group of people that they were trying to assist and help and protect, and then betrayed by the media, then betrayed by social media and all of us who might have said something that wasn't true because we believed the media. And then finally, they were betrayed by their own principal, their own priest, their own church, their own archdiocese, their own mayor. It's despicable what has happened. These boys, I would be proud to call my own son. These parents of these boys are under attack. Some of them are being attacked at work. People are calling and said, you should fire these cretins who have raised these boys. America, you are at a point of choosing. It isn't hard now. This one isn't even a close call. You are at a point of choosing, and if you stay silent now, silence in the face of evil is evil itself. Not to stand right now is to stand. But I warn you, God will not hold you guiltless. We will all pay dearly for this mistake. These boys are innocent, and not just innocent. The story you have been told is the exact opposite. They are protectors of the weak. If you want this information, you can find it at theblazetv.com. I urge you to join us because it is your dollar that paid for everybody on my research team to spend their entire day doing nothing but work on this story to get it right. Please become a subscriber at blazetv.com/Beck. If you can't afford it, I understand it. But somebody's got to set the record straight. And if you can't afford it, and even if you can't afford it, decide not to do it, that's fine. I urge everyone within the sound of my voice to take this information. It will be on Blaze TV. It will be on theblaze.com. All of this will be posted, but it is now in your hands. We did the work. It is now in your hands to correct the error of this grave, grave mistake.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
The magnetic poles are important for several reasons. One is just GPS. There was an emergency meeting called at the end of last year where the world had to come together and reset the GPS, which they were scheduled to do every 10 years. And they were scheduled to do that in 2020, but something is changing. Now, it's not just the magnetic poles. The magnetic poles tell us something about the current of the magma that is around the iron core of the Earth. Is this related to the earthquakes that we're seeing? Is this related at all to the Yellowstone Dome? That is looking pretty nasty day by day. A guy who can tell us what all of this means and what's happening is Ben Davidson. He's the founder of SpaceWeatherNews.com. Ben, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm doing very well, and good morning, sir. The pleasure, I can assure you, is both mine and that of the 370,000 citizen scientist observers I'm representing here today.
Well, thank you. So tell me about the polar shift. People, I don't think, understand that the magnetic north and magnetic south have moved about every 12,000 years. And what does it mean?
Well, it means that there is a process that is happening on our planet right now that doesn't happen very often. For the vast majority of the time we live in this, you know, quasi-happy relatively peaceful planet. Sure, there are storms and earthquakes and things like that, but it's allowed us to thrive here. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. You know, those same genius ancestors of ours that gave us geometry, philosophy, architecture, they also insisted that we not forget the most important stories, the ones they etched into stone. And that's of basically the end of the world as they knew it, when the planet and the heavens that they were so used to being repeatable and predictable and calm and peaceful turned against them, sort of in their words. Now, granted, that's not a very scientific way of saying it, but it was the best they could come up with. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, the evidence says that they were not making it up, just like they didn't make up philosophy, geometry, and architecture. This does seem to happen, and we are well into this one now, and getting to the point where some of the events that we've been seeing on Earth the last few years are directly tied to it, and it's going to be getting much, much worse.
Okay, explain how fast, first of all, every 12,000 years there should be a polar shift. There, just historically looking, it's about 12,000 years. We're now at 11,960 years. And explain what's happening.
Well, and you know, I'm glad that you mentioned those times. It's tough to know exactly where on the year we are. I mean, for all we know, based on what's happened the last couple of years, this could be a lot, you know, a lot more lot more up on our heels than we realize. But what's happening is this magnetic field around our planet, it comes from these magnetic poles. One comes out of the north, one comes out of the south, and it wraps around our planet. Now, this is important because apart from asteroids, every last little thing that is scary from space is electromagnetic, whether it's electromagnetic waves like gamma rays and X-rays, or it's charged particles like protons, cosmic rays, high-energy electrons. This magnetic field is what blocks this and protects our planet. If we don't have as strong of a magnetic field, which we've basically been losing it slowly for the entirety of modern history, but it's just started
to move
really diminishing, really diminishing much faster now, we're going to start to see the effects, and we have started seeing the effects on the earthquakes, the volcanoes, technological susceptibility, and even some human health issues that go along with this.
So the magnetic poles actually shift because, just like we learned with, you know, an alternator or a generator, the molten part of the core, that's I think nickel, and it's going around the iron part of the core like a generator does, and so it's creating this magnetic field. But it's telling us that this molten core is moving faster, which, can that explain what's happening? Is that what's explaining on happening, like, for instance, the Yellowstone, I can't remember what they call it, but the big, you know, the big volcano in Yellowstone?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are ways that could explain it. But for example, you don't necessarily need it. The weakest part of the magnetic field right now, for example, is over the South Atlantic. It's called the South Atlantic Anomaly. Now, they try to explain this by saying that right underneath there, down to the core, there are these anomalous motions. But the thing is, the magnetic North Pole is moving towards Siberia from Canada, and the magnetic South Pole has already left Antarctica. It's way ahead in the race, and it's going up into the Indian Ocean. Both magnetic poles are moving away from that exact point. And so, is there some anomalous activity at the core underneath the South Atlantic Anomaly, or is it just the fact that both magnetic points on the planet are moving further away from it? And with magnetism, the force falls off at 1 over distance cubed. So what we have here is a lot of questions way beneath our feet, but we don't have a whole lot of uncertainty up here at the surface. We can see a lot of these things. The technology and innovation of the last few decades has allowed us to very well track a lot of these things. And while personally, I am actually not as worried about Yellowstone, I think there are a couple in California, Oregon, and Washington that actually worry me a bit more. All of the volcanoes and every single fault line, and that's not just the major ones that surround the ocean, but that things like New Madrid that run up the center of the country, all of those are at major, major risk when this goes a little further.
You moved your family to New Mexico because you say that's a good place to be. Where do you not want to be?
You do not want to be anywhere near a coastline when this happens. The weather interaction between the land and ocean, it's already responsible for some of the harder to forecast major storms and their effects. That's going to increase because as much as temperature and pressure and water vapor play a role in weather, there's also this thing called the global electric circuit. And this is not, you know, fringe science or anything like that. It's just at a higher level. Essentially, there is electric current going from basically the top of the atmosphere down to the ground in fair weather, high pressure. In low pressure, it comes back up into the sky. Now, the only thing stopping the sun from having complete control over this electric circuit in our atmosphere, and which goes down to the ground as well, which is how it accesses the crust and the magma, things like that. The only thing stopping it is that magnetic shield around our planet. As this is decreasing, we are seeing that space weather, things like solar flares, just the regular solar wind, these things are having a much greater effect on the weather, the earthquakes, the volcanic eruptions. Granted, we haven't seen any major global affecting ones yet, but we are starting to see them not only increase in number, but increase in frequency when we would be expecting this surge of energy from the sun or from cosmic rays from the rest of the galaxy. And so you have this knowledge that earthquakes are electromagnetic. I don't know how much you've been following this, but this is now great mainstream science that earthquakes have an electromagnetic component to them. Cosmic rays, those things I mentioned a bit ago, the most powerful ones go right through the Earth. The slightly less powerful ones hit the mantle and change the viscosity level there, especially in silica-rich volcanoes. One of those happens to be Yellowstone. And when we're talking about the weather, that is mostly electricity. And so the current going up and down, this is what actually drives the storms east and west, what strengthens them, what weakens them when they get disconnected from that current. And so, again, the only thing standing in the way of the sun having complete control over the weather, the earthquakes, and our volcanoes, which does seem to happen every time we get a magnetic pole shift, is that magnetosphere, which is losing strength as the poles are moving. You know, a lot of people know the poles are moving, but they don't know that we're actually losing the strength of the field as well.
Because that's what happens when it moves. Real quick, the poles always drift and move. But what we've seen is a dramatic uptick. And if I'm not mistaken, last year the poles moved as much as one would expect in a decade. Is that true?
If you look over long time scales, absolutely. It was only slightly faster than what happened the decade before. But their model was based on the idea that what happened the decade before was an anomaly and it wouldn't possibly happen again. Well, the short version of the story is both the magnetic field position and the strength of the magnetic poles were very, very stable for a couple thousand years, somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 years. Moving a little bit, a few miles to, you know, maybe 10 miles every couple of years, to all of a sudden, the magnetic poles started taking off. And it was actually the southern one that started about 100 years earlier, which is why it's already left Antarctica and up in the Indian Ocean. But the north is actually moving faster now to try to catch up. And as it's doing so, it has literally dwarfed thousands of years of motion a couple of times. So from 1900 to about 1980, it dwarfed the last 1,000 years of motion. It broke that again in just the next 30 years, broke that again in just the last decade, and it broke it again here in the last 8 years, which, you know, as you said, it was supposed to come out in 2020. They began realizing this problem in 2018. So it is continuing to speed up. We are losing the field faster and faster. And for those of us who track the sun every single day and the weather and the earthquakes and the volcanoes every single day, it is utterly clear that smaller and smaller solar flares are able to do more and more in the weather, that less and less powerful solar wind is able to trigger stronger and stronger earthquakes, things like that.
Ben, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Ben, you can follow him and find additional information, spaceweathernews.com. I know this sounds crazy because nobody ever talks about it, but it's actual science and wildly important and may explain more about what's going on with our weather and with what's coming than anything else. Spaceweathernews.com. Thank you so much, Ben.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.